ब्रह्मः गोग्नो मात्राचार्यः गवान् श्वादपुल्कसको वापि शुद्येरन्यस्य कीर्तनात् तम् अश्वमेधेन महामखेन श्रद्धान्वितो अस्माभिरनुष्ठितेन हत्वापि स ब्रह्मचराचरं त्वम् न लिप्यसे किं खल निग्रहेण. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: one who has killed a brahmana, one who has killed a cow, one who has killed his father, mother or spiritual master can be immediately freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayan. Other sinful persons such as dog eaters and chandalas who are less than shudras can also be freed in this way. But you are a devotee, and we shall help you by performing the great hot sacrifice. If you please Lord Narayan in that way, why should you be afraid? You will be freed even if you kill the entire universe, including the brahmanas, not to speak of killing a disturbing demon like Vritrasur. Purport: it is said in the Brihad Vishnu Puran, namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane hare tavat kartum na shaknoti patakam pataki naraha. Also in the Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit, it is said, ek krishna nam papir jato papakshay bahujan meshai papikorite naray. This means that by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be freed from the reactions of more sins that he can even imagine performing. The holy name is so spiritually potent that simply by chanting the holy name, one can be freed from the reactions to all sinful activities. What then is to be said of those who chant the holy name regularly or worship the deity regularly? For such purified devotees, freedom from sinful reaction is certainly assured. This does not mean, however, that one should intentionally commit sinful acts and think himself free from the reactions because he is chanting the holy name. Such a mentality is a most abominable offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. Amno baladyasehi papa buddhi. The Lord's holy name certainly has the potency to neutralize all sinful activities. But if one repeatedly and intentionally commits sins while chanting the holy name, he is most condemned. These verses name the performers of various sinful deeds. In the Manu Samhita, the following names are given: a son begotten by a brahmana and born from the womb of a shudra mother is called a Parashava or Nishada, a hunter accustomed to stealing. A son begotten by a Nishad in the womb of a Shudra mother woman is called a Pukkasa. A child begotten by a Kshatriya in the womb of a daughter of a Shudra is called an Ugra. A child begotten by a Shudra in the womb of a daughter of a Kshatriya is called a Kshatta. A child begotten by a Kshatriya in the womb of a lower class woman is called a Shvada or dog eater. All such offsprings are considered extremely sinful. But the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so strong that all of them can be purified simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Hare Krishna movement offers everyone a chance to be purified, regardless of birth or family. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbaya Vanakhasadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudhyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, members of the Khasa races, even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of devotees of the Lord. For he is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Even such sinful persons can certainly all be purified if they chant the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee. Herein the sages encourage King Indra to kill Vritrasur even at the risk of Brahmahatya, the killing of a brahmana, and they guarantee to release him from sinful reactions by performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. Such purposefully devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. This will be seen from the following verse. One who has killed a brahmana, a cow, father, mother, spiritual master, can immediately be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayan. Other sinful persons such as dog eaters and chandalas who are less than shudras can also be freed in this way. But you are a devotee. This is an assembly of brahmanas, sadhus, rishis. They are encouraging Indradev. They know theoretically that the Lord's name is very powerful. But it takes more than just knowing that the Lord's name is powerful. Like it takes more than just having a map of a treasure than actually having the treasury box in your custody. As in English they say, there is many a slip between the cup and the lip. There could be a big gap in that. So we feel that, at least I used to feel, that in the Hare Krishna movement, the holy name is given abnormal status. And something more than natural, something more than originally it has the power. Well, holy name is, it's Krishna's name, it could be pure, it's good to chant once in a while, it's good to chant in a ceremony. But then as one after another, you get hit by statements, especially Upadeshamrit. Prabhupada says, the essence of all advice is one should chant the holy name of the Lord 24 hours a day. And you feel, is this for those who cannot do anything else? The conditioned mind immediately changes its color, form, like a chameleon. Never agrees to something as simple. And Srila Prabhupada once said, just like a court, if it is disorderly, and the magistrate says, order, order, order. Behave like civilized people. Similarly, the Shastras say, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. 3 times. Eva. Only the holy name. You may say, well, holy name. Kali Yuga, everything is very disturbed. Kalau, in this age, Nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. One Srila Prabhupada gave another feature of this 3 times, reiterating the same order. No karma, no jnana, and no hatha yoga can help you. It's not possible. So, these sages are telling King Indra that we shall help you, if you get any sins, we shall help you by performing the great horse sacrifice. If you please Lord Narayan in that way, why should you be afraid? You will be freed even if you kill the entire universe, with all brahmanas included in the universe. And not to speak of killing one disturbing demon like Vritrasur. They don't even call Vritrasur a brahmana. Sometimes we feel that whatever is in Srimad Bhagavatam is all, it's all absolute. But at the same time, you have to understand, we cannot take just one single component isolated, in an isolated way. Here, we are witnessing a very strange situation. There are professional priests, professional meditators. Professional doesn't mean that somebody pays them for meditating, but that's their profession. They don't do anything else. And they have so much information. And of course, information can be not exactly misleading, it can be deficient, it can it can be, as they say, outdated. Like you put a virus control, virus controlling CD or disk in your system, and it says it's outdated. The kind of viruses it can help you eradicate, they already have been cleared 2 years ago. Your system is hopelessly outdated. Please, you need to update it. So similarly, just like a computer system, although it's not organic, we feel as if it's organic. We feel a computer talks to us. And please wait while the computer is doing something for you. We feel a human being is interacting. Similarly, this universe also is more organic than what today's scientists may make us believe. And poor Indra, we cannot call him poor, we are much poorer than him. But these chapters of the sixth canto, one after another, it seems that Indra is hit by calamities. In English, there is a term called annus horribilis, a very bad year. Like in sports, in politics, in business, in India, they call it Sade Sati. 7.5 years of bad luck. In the West, if you break a mirror, they say 7 years of bad luck. So people are very careful not to break mirrors. There are so many superstitions prevailing in all parts, all corners of the world. But here we find Indra, because of pride. Let's take a journey from how this whole thing began. Someone like Indra may say, if I don't enjoy, then who does? I am very punyavan. I deserve it. Like you find people, people in resorts, people in five-star hotel situations, they have this look on their face. If I don't deserve this, if I don't deserve this presidential suite, if I don't deserve this drama, this dance, this, who does? And advertisers nowadays, they major in psychology more than in graphics. Even things like wine or expensive cars are sold on the basis of, hey, you made it, you are successful, so celebrate. This is what you can have. This liquor, this car, this something extra. For people who have everything, something extra. If somebody has everything, why should he need that? No one thinks. So Indra is someone who has done a lot of pious activities. We can't imagine how much. Shatakratu, 100 sacrifices. How he does that, evading that particular Indra at that time, also is a story in itself. Because every time we find somebody is at 99 and this person is stuck, he gets very jittery. He wants to stop this person doing the 100th one. So that means if anyone wants to be an Indra now, you can be reasonably assured the current Indra is going to do something to stop you. It's bound to be. A street thug, a gulli ka dada, in today's parlance, he wants to stop some competitor from becoming too powerful, isn't it? There is rivalry in entertainment. In India, it's rumored that there's a very, very popular playback singer. There was, or is, maybe. And this person, when came to know that there is a new voice coming up, not a raw new voice, but a polished new talent coming up. And the first 20,000-25,000 records were being readied. This person said, purchase all of them. Not a single record should enter the market. And we don't need to point names or we don't need to find faults, but this mentality is prevailing in this world. So Indra, in that moment of enjoying opulence, offended his spiritual master. Now somebody who is accustomed to shouting orders at his subordinates, sometimes finds that when he's shouting, his superior is standing in front of him. And he said, hey, sorry, sir. Why is that? Because you're accustomed to just bawling out orders. So if you're accustomed to being very smug and secure in your sense gratification, and your spiritual master comes, you don't even pay any respect. And then you find that, just like the sodium vapor lamp, you switch it off, it doesn't go off. It's like, so similarly, you find your prowess, there's something wrong. And slowly, all the illumination goes down. Okay, illumination going down, we can say, repair it. Say to the spiritual master, I'm sorry. Then the demons come. And not only they just harass you, they just say that, give us some money and we'll go away. They kick you out of your very throne. Yesterday you were enjoying that palace, today you can't even approach it. You can see it from a distance, oh, that's my room and that's the corner where I have to enjoy every evening. And then you have to perform a sacrifice. Lord Vishnu, who's your guardian, in a very interesting purport, later, I think in the same chapter, Prabhupada describes what exactly is the difference between a Asura and an Asura. We feel Asuras is Asuri, that means Rakshas. No, Rakshas is just a man-eater variety of Asuras. Asuras could be in pinstriped suit, having expensive suitcases, flying their personal jets. Could be. Having very expensive ornaments on their bodies, flowing robes, silken robes, whatever. So Prabhupada says, Suras, demigods, are those who accept the Lord as their master and in times of trouble run to Him. Asuras, who are unaware of the supreme will of the Lord. Very interesting definition. They are unaware that there is somebody who has a supreme will. The Suras try to enjoy. When they become frustrated, they feel, problem ho gaya. Big problem. I think we goofed. I think we have displeased our boss, whoever is he. We don't know who is he. And then suddenly they remember that, hey, there is Lord Narayan and His name is all powerful, His name is all pure. But you can't chant the name purely unless you get it from a pure source. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada very, very plainly, matter-of-factly points out that such purposefully devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. It means you already have made the atonement ready. Like in some religions, they used to sell indulgences. The priestly class became so corrupt. They would say, okay, what did you do? Okay, you drank and you did this. And in the next week I'm going to do the same thing again. Okay, add 20 pieces of silver more, you know. Add some more money and I'll take care of the whole thing. So, that kind of thing doesn't help. Then the priest which Indra got, he found that he's secretly helping the demons. So, you had to kill him. Emergency. No, there was no excuse about that. And then you get the sin of Brahmahatya. He's a Brahmana. His father becomes so angry that he brings out a demon. He says, kill Indra. Now, the Yajaman is supposed to be the father. So if he brought out this person, he technically also is a Brahmana. So Indra says, first for killing Twashta, I got sinful reaction. And now you guys are telling me if I kill Vritrasura, I won't get any. I'm not convinced. And they are saying, no, go ahead. He's troubling us too. So in this way, practically everybody in this material world, his main interest is his self-interest. After that, if there is anything left over, I can give it for someone else. We can't avoid that. A Herculean effort is needed to actually go out and help someone without any
self-interest. How does it come? Sometimes you meet people and their faith, well, not to put it in as faith, their doubt in spirituality is so much that it rivals or it exceeds your faith in Krishna consciousness. Some people's doubt is so strong that I don't think you joined the Hare Krishna movement for selfless reasons. There must be something in it. He may say, no. Our spiritual teacher doesn't pay us for chanting Hare Krishna or getting up every day early in the morning. Prabhupada used to tell his people, the news reporters, these are your American boys and girls. I don't bribe them. I am from India, a beggar country, according to you. Not according to me. According to you, I am from a poor country, so I cannot bribe your youth. Why are they doing all this? So they would ask the same question. How do you get all these boys to chant Hare Krishna every day? And Prabhupada says, I am asking you the question. How am I getting that? Answer me. There is no answer, of course. So this one sterling example of Prabhupada, like I think Atmatattva Prabhu, when he was here, shared this example. In Calcutta, one Marwadi businessman asked Prabhupada, hey, Swamiji, ye sab kaisa banaya? How did you make all this money? Mayapur, Bombay, so much estate. So Prabhupada said, hum udhar gaya, I went to New York, ek ped ka niche Hare Krishna kiya. I chanted Hare Krishna under a tree. Ye sab log aa gaya. And they all came. And that's it. He was saying, no. Ye sab paisa kahan se aa gaya? How come you amass so much money? And Prabhupada said, Krishna ne diya. This Krishna gave. Especially to Indians who would have this kind of stinking mentality as to how a sadhu has so much money, and you come to see Prabhupada, but then you get that feeling that I expect a sadhu who will grovel at my feet and say, please give me something, please give me something. So Prabhupada in a bold lecture in Jews says, I don't need your money. My disciples in the West are selling my books 70,000 rupees a day. How much is that in dollars? You would ask somebody. So many dollars, you see. So they are giving me money. I don't need your Indian money. Who cares for Indian money anyway? So that money is building this Jew temple. You see? And they would say, yes, we know. So I am telling you, please come and just chant before Radha Ras Bihari. I don't need your money. It certainly broke the pride of many, many proud people who came in the first instance. So, Srila Prabhupada was that selfless person, and therefore he could influence so many others. And we can see now, at least I feel for myself, that we can talk of doing something selfless. So this thing about sin, Indra is now, actually Indra has already killed Vritrasura, but we have sort of a flashback where the sages were telling that, go ahead, kill him. And the very next verse we'll find that for killing Vritrasura, Indra got some sin. And although it could be a small thing compared to Indra's lifespan, but it still hurts. It's like if you are given a free 7-day ticket to Disneyland. 7 days you can do whatever you want. And the very next day you get a bout of dysentery, and 2 days you have to spend in the hospital. They pay it, of course. You are cursing yourself in the hospital. I should be out there enjoying. And here I am. But somebody can say, at least 5 days you got. Nahi, but I lost those 2 days. It hurts. Similarly, for 1 year, Indra could not go and enjoy his palace. And then to make matters worse, he found that the person who was appointed as Indra was making advances towards his wife. It was a real annus horribilis. May not be a whole year, but a real bad time for Indra. This also gives us the idea that life is not all rose and peaches in the heavenly kingdom. We describe, that day I got heavenly at pleasure.
or you have something heavenly, heavenly, the heavens, swarga loka, swarga sukh, everything is so much hyped. Here is swarga dhipati, the master of swarga loka, undergoing such misery. So sin always brings misery. Papa, this word, actually hints at separating you, cutting you away, causing an interruption in your activities, especially meant towards salvation or moksha. Throughout Vedic literature, moksha basically means relief. You have a knee pain, you put some iodex, some balm, liberation. But that's temporary liberation. Let's say you want to run to catch the train and you are limping. So you put some balm, that's liberation. Then you find the whole train jam-packed. That's not liberation when you go inside. Helly, smelly, you find people all around you. So that's, then you put some body, what do they call it? Deodorant. Take care of your BO, body odor. That's liberation. Then you are sweaty, so you put some air condition on. That's liberation. So in this way, every day there is bondage, liberation from so many activities. Where is the aikantiki mukti, which is the last limit of liberation? No one talks of that. Why no one talks of that? No one asks about it. People are still interested in having these itsy-bitsy bits of liberation. Well, that's life. Therefore, in the Puranas, there are stories of an old woman carrying a big load of firewood on her shoulder, creaking, grumbling. She's having some fever and some headache. Finally, she just collapses and says, "Oh Lord, Lord, help me." And that day the Lord decides to help her. He comes in front of her and says, "Hey old lady, what is the matter? I will do anything what you say." She says, "Anything?" "Yes. I'll give you one boon. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Could you kindly put this load back on my shoulder? It just slipped." "That's all? That's all you want?" The Lord comes and you say that, "Okay, just put it back." We may laugh at the old lady, but we are all that. So therefore, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, it begins with Arjuna saying, "Papam eva shrayed asman hatvai tan atatayinaha." The 36 words of the first chapter. Arjuna is saying, "Krishna, don't tell me to kill these people. These are not just thugs. This is not a mafia war which you are telling me to kill all of them. This assembly includes my grandfather, my guru, my nephews, my friends. I can see all the people with whom I am supposed to enjoy. Whatever may be the cause of enjoyment, I see them here. It's sin, Krishna, it's sin." So Krishna seems to be amused that, "Well, you are introducing sin to me. You think I don't know what sin is?" So then, like a kite which is broken from its connection, Arjuna's mind goes to various places. "Oh, if I go here, it's a problem. If I go here, it's a problem. If I go here, it's a problem. Anywhere I go, it's a problem. Help me." Meanwhile, Krishna is smiling. Prahasanna eva. Krishna doesn't need to be miserable. We don't need a God who is equally sinful like us, just to make matters even. We don't need a God who is equally miserable like us. The bhakti process is not a process where you say, "God, do you understand my problems? I don't think so. I never see you miserable. You're always smiling." We put a little chandan, we feel so happy. Here is Gopalji, all chandan. Every day, that too. How you must be enjoying.
So Krishna introduces various layers one after another. We'll just go through a quick look at what are the ways to get out of sin. When Krishna is introducing Karmakanda, the way of sacrifice, ritualistic mainly, but if done with proper attention through a very specialized person, you get the results. Sarve pyete yagyavido yagya kshapita kalmashah yagya shishtamrita bhujo yanti brahma sanatanam. Sarve pyete, when he is introducing the various kinds of sacrifices, Krishna says all these performers of various sacrifices, yagya kshapita kalmashah, their sinful reactions or sins get eradicated. Why? Yagya shishta amrita bhujo. They are enjoying the remnants of sacrifice. Those who are just doing karma, brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yah lipyate nasa papena padmapatra ivambasa. Brahmanya adhaya karmani. You do your duty, but brahmanya adhaya, for the supreme. And sangam tyaktva, without attachment for that duty. It's like you like it or you don't like it. You do it. What happens? Just like you pour tons and tons of water on a lotus leaf, the lotus leaf remains untouched. Lipyate nasa papena. Sin won't touch you. Someone interested in dhyana yoga, Krishna says, prashantamanasam yenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upaiti shanta rajasam brahmabhutam akalmasham. Prashantamanasam, by doing severe hatha yoga practice, if somebody has controlled his mind, shanta rajasam, if he has controlled his passion, rajogun, what happens? Brahmabhutam, he advances towards the eternal nature, akalmasham, without any sin. For those in the jnana marg who are trying to understand spiritual life or trying to progress in transcendence through jnana marga, yoma majamanadim yaveti lokamaheshwaram asam mudho samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. One who knows me as the unborn, beginningless, supreme lord, asam mudho samartyeshu, among the human society, he is asam mudho, he is not deluded. He also becomes freed from sin. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if somebody listens to this dialogue, Arjun, he becomes freed from sin. Arjun is thinking, if I kill somebody, there will be sin. And Krishna is telling us, you all, if you listen to this dialogue, you will be freed from all sin. Shraddhavan anusuyascha shrunuyadapi yo naraha sopi mukta shubhalam lokan prapnuyat purna karmanam. And finally, the crest jewel of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchah. If you are feeling confused about karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, hatha yoga, karma kand, just abandon everything. Just surrender unto me. That's all. During Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there was one landowner, very wealthy landowner. He was a raya, Subuddhi raya. He was digging a lake. And one servant made a mistake. So he had that servant lashed, gave him a whiplash. The wheels of fortune changed. That servant became a favorite of the emperor of Bengal and was appointed the king of that province. He called himself Nawab Hussein Shah. He was Hussein, But he became Nawab Hussain. One day his wife saw on his back a scar. And she said, "What happened? How did you get this mark?" He says, "Oh, forget it." He said, no, I want to know. "Well, you know, when I was young, I was serving under one zamindar. I made a mistake and he had me whipped." She said, "How dare he do it to my husband?" But he said, "But that time I made a mistake. And don't you know that a zamindar, a master, is supposed to be disciplining his servants if they commit a mistake?" No. "Where is he now?" He said, "No, he's a very good man. You have to do something to ruin him." And he said, "Forget it, let bygones be bygones." She said, "No. If you love me, you'll do that." And as you know, Bala Hatta, Raja Hatta, Stri Hatta, they go in a, they cannot be avoided. So all he does is take some water from a pot which was used by a Muslim and sprinkles it on Subuddhi in a marketplace. And everybody says, this person has become an outcast now, untouchable, you are a Yavana now. And he says, "What do you mean?" So Srila Prabhupada once said, "Who is responsible for this two religion rift in India? The so-called Hindus. Okay, if somebody does something, if somebody puts some stool on you, take a good bath. That doesn't mean next day you won't be allowed in the temple. That day, 2 years ago, there was some stool, bird stool on your body. You say, I already taken bath so many hundreds of times after that." So just because of the whole system in the hands of unscrupulous people, Subuddhi Rai is in a fix. What am I supposed to do now? So that time, the high seat of Puranic lore, learning, wisdom was Kashi. So he said, "Go there and get some prayaschitta. Who knows what they will say?" So one, like we have these various committees and senates, one khandapit, a body of learned sadhus or brahmanas, they say, "Well, you know, this book here, very ancient text says that drink boiling ghee and then the sin will go away." He says, "Big deal. And I don't remain alive after that." So some said, No. "That's old one. The boiling ghee part is now gone. Go to the confluence of the Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. Give up your life." So some say right, some say left, some say up, down, like that story where father and son are going to the market on a donkey and somebody is saying, "Hey, it's so hot and you're trudging on the way, why not sit on the donkey? It's for carrying you, isn't it?" And the father says, "Good idea, son, sit on it." And the old man says, "What a fine son you are. You are sitting on the donkey and your father is trudging along you. You'll go to hell for this." So he says, "Father, you sit, I'll walk." And a young man says, "Hey, you are sitting comfortably. Your poor son is walking. Don't you have any shame?" So they say, "Son, let us both sit." And then an animal rights activist comes here. "I'm going to book you. A poor donkey and two of you. Just imagine the load on the donkey." And they say, "Hey, people are not satisfied. Whatever we do, let's carry it." So they carry the donkey. And people say, "Look at them. Who is the ass here?" So, you cannot satisfy anyone. In some stories, the donkey falls in the river. In some stories, they say, "Let's be original. Let's walk along with the donkey." So, Subuddhi Rai, he comes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he says, "Hey, come. Forget all that what they said. Go to Vrindavan and chant as loudly as you can. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And he says, "What about this, what about that?" He says, "Forget it." Subuddhi Rai just leaves Bengal, comes to Vrindavan, he meets Rupa Goswami. He takes through all the 12 forests, shows him everything. Subuddhi Rai then says, I'll do something here. He goes to Mathura every day, collects firewood. He used to sell that firewood in the marketplace in Mathura. 6 paisa per load.
Whole big load for a family.
You get only 6 paise. He would spend 1 paisa on himself. 5 paisa he would keep aside with a businessman. And then every year, Bengali Vaishnavas would come all the way, as they come now also. You will find a big bus with all gamchas around it and some cooking going on. That means it's from Bengal. So that time no bus. They would come walking all the way, or some ponies or whatever. Dinamandu Prabhu used to tell that people in Braj just say, Bengali, Kangali. But when they come to Braj, they really spend money like anything. They are very happy. Because that's how the tradition started of going to Braj. But one problem. In Braj, only rotis. Ami Bengali, amake bhat lagbe. We need rice. And no rice. So Subuddhi Rai would purchase good quality rice. And people have come from all the way, so far away. Feet sore, soles sore, knees sore. He would get mustard oil. So yogurt rice, dahi bhat, to cure their stomach problems. And mustard oil for bodily massage. That's how blissfully he would serve all the Bengali Vaishnavas who would come for touring Braj. Chant all day, take the association of all these devotees and serve the Vaishnavas. This kind of sin business went far away. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya doesn't entertain any other kind of procedures, because time is short and the sins are big. It's not like we can have all the time in the world to analyze our sins and, okay, maybe we'll sort this problem later, I'll perform atonement for this one now. No. Kali Yuga means emergency. All systems blaring. All alarms going off. All red lights on. And therefore, in one sense, it's like a defeat. A scripture like Bhagavatam shouldn't have something which says it doesn't work. Right? But no. Bhagavatam is just not meant for some old time glorification. Oh, look at him, how he got his medals, how he enjoyed. Looking at previous experiences, it is meant to be a beacon light for this age. That's the main purpose. Kalau nashta drisham esha. This esha purana arka. For those who have lost their vision due to the blindness of the age of Kali, this scripture will be your beacon light, your eyes, to see things as they are. So, this maha makhena. Makha means a sacrifice. Maha makhena is an ashwamedha sacrifice. Big sacrifice. Doesn't help Indra. So, from the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that we just need to chant the holy name. That's sufficient for this age. So, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Grantharashmat Bhagavat Mahapurana ki.